how is this maybe different than some of the other ways we approach pursuing purity? You know, maybe specifically as opposed to don't do that thing, the positive thing that's being put forth here. And also, you alluded to it a little bit, but how would you principalize some of the things said here, especially in verses 15 through 20, for the single person who may get married, who may not get married? How would this still be something that would guide them in their pursuit of purity?
Okay, first with the married person, let's just, everybody here, married or single, can do this next exercise. But just for a moment, here's what I want you to do. Do not think about snakes. Do not think about slimy, slithery snakes coming in through cracks in the windows, coming up the air vents and the ducts, and don't think about them slimming around, and don't think them kind of curling up inside of your slipper so that you get up in the middle. Do not think about those things.
I think Linda's about to leave.
Now, how effective was that? Don't think about it. Don't think about sex. Don't think about sex. Not real effective. Now, okay, what does Scripture say? It says, whatsoever is good and pure and wholesome and all of these things, think about these things. Cultivate a mindset. Draw your attention toward the things of God, toward the Lord, toward who we are in Christ, toward the purity of the Christian life. And now, for married people, even in terms of your sexual impulses, turn your affections toward your spouse. We live in a culture where the tendency is to have these airbrushed perfection. There's actually there's a lot of things not to look at, YouTube-wise, but one really good one is, and I put it on our blog probably about a year ago, but I'm trying to remember what the makeup company, is it Dove? Yes, the Dove one where they show a gal who comes in and she's just, you know, no makeup and her face is just kind of drawn, her hair is sort of a mess and all this stuff, and she's just nothing attractive, nothing alluring. And then they go through a couple of hours fast-forwarded of all the makeup, touch-up, this. And then they do the actual adjustment of the image and bring in this, bring in and then you have this beautiful, sexy, alluring, it's just neck up, but it's this woman, okay? And it's like, wow. And then you look at it and you go, right, except that's not how real people look, okay? And if you somewhere have seen a real person who actually looks that way, it's not normally how real people look, okay? And what we've got to do is say, this is the person God has given to me to, and I should be attracted to this person. And you know what? You can cultivate the attraction toward that person. There was a man in our church years ago who came to me and said, I have completely lost physical attraction for my wife. I'm attracted to other women. I'm not attracted to her. And we talked about it, and I said, you can cultivate this. You can cultivate an attraction to your wife. One, look away from all the other things and don't listen to the lies of our culture, and look at this person and look at their heart, their inner beauty, and look at your commitment before God to meet this person's needs and love her and give yourself for her and watch your heart change. He came back to me several months later and he said, it's like a miracle. I am so drawn to my wife. I am just so, it's just, it changed. Not because she went and had cosmetic surgery. She didn't. It's because his heart before the Lord was given over to the things of God, and he became sexually drawn to his wife, and their intimacy became far better than it had ever been before. So within a marriage relationship, cultivate that intimacy. And I would encourage you, women, make yourself available to your husband as 1 Corinthians 7 commands. It is a commandment of God. And to meet one another's needs in that relationship, unless there's some compelling physical reason or something where this cannot happen, this is something that God desires to happen. Now, that is one command in Scripture that some people are very glad to fulfill, you know, but there are others that it is more difficult for, yet it remains a command. But be sensitive to the needs of your spouse. Men, understand that your wife may not have, probably doesn't have, the desire to have sexual intimacy at the frequency that you do. There is compromise. There is a happy medium. There is a way to work in both being sensitive toward each other. For single people, and that was the other part of Dan's question. Now, it's a challenge. But God always equips us to fulfill the calling he gives us. He always empowers us to be able to do what he calls us to do. So along with every command is an implied promise of empowerment. You can live sexually pure as a single person. You are going to have to really work because a married person can experience a sexual temptation and then transfer the impulse over to the proper place. For a single person, where's the proper place? And so a lot of people argue it's not fair. It's just not fair. You know what? There are a lot of things in this world that are not fair. Have you noticed? There's a lot of unfairness out there. Maybe it's not fair. Under the fall, under the curse, life is not always fair, but God is always good. And God is always there to empower you. And I do have a section in the Purity Principle book for chapter specifically for single people in terms of cultivating a focus on Christ, viewing him as your mate and your companion and your best friend, having your emotional needs met in him, and then being able to die to self and choose to move your desires away from the temptations that face you. And don't tell yourself, oh, well, we live in a world full of temptations. You know, you can't stay away from temptations. That's a half-truth. And that's where Martin Luther said, you can't, keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making a nest in your hair. Mm.